good afternoon. This is Brian Papstein. Welcome to KINS Radio's presentation of Meet the Candidates. Our special series is designed to let you get to know the views and opinions of the candidates for each of the offices. In this segment, we'll be hearing from Rich Borsani, candidate for Fortuna School Board. Are you ready for this? Member Area R. I know. Look at me that way. Each segment of our Meet the Candidates is 16 minutes in length. Welcome, Rich. And if you would like, you can make an opening statement about who you are and why you're doing this.
Okay, thank you. I'm seeking the position of a school board member of the Consolidated Fortuna-Roanoke School Districts into the Fortuna Elementary School District. I taught at the Scotia Elementary School and served as superintendent principal of the district for 31 years. I served as interim superintendent principal of the Roanoke School District for the 2007-2008 school year. And then I ran for the Roanoke School Board to strive to assist the district to get back to a positive certification of their interim reports and not allow the district to get back in the situation I encountered in 2007-2008. I've served on that school board for the past 4 years, and the voters approved a $5 million bond for the Roanoke School District. The voters were given assurances that the bond measure would provide certain improvements for both Ambrosini and Toddy Thomas schools. I wish to ensure that what was promised is delivered. With the experience I've had, I hope to be able to assist and ensure that the funding of the consolidated district is appropriately managed, the funding of the bond measure spent as promised the voters in both districts, and the classified and certificated personnel assured of strong support. With the consolidation of the two districts, it would be my intent to strive to ensure that all students within the districts have the opportunity to proudly attend our schools, feel safe, obtain the highest quality education possible in a rewarding environment conducive to learning.
You got page two on that one? Or
no, that's it. That's
okay.
It.
So each of our folks have received the areas of discussion, the questions in advance. So Rich, let's start with the first one because I don't want to go out of order.
Okay.
All right. What's the biggest challenge that currently is facing the Fortuna Elementary School District?
The biggest challenge I can see within our new district is to ensure a good cooperative working environment between all the teachers, staff, parents, students, and the administration. We need to ensure equality in each district and eliminate inequities. Our students are our most important resource and need to be our top priority. The individual we have selected for the leadership position is Mrs. Patty Hafner, and she brings in a sense of stability, a fresh outlook, and is an energetic individual willing to spend the time necessary to ensure the consolidation is a smooth transition to one of the largest school districts in Humboldt County.
When you look at equality, what standard is that going to get measured against?
Well, we're kind of working on pay scales and things of that sort, which we have to adapt. And the County Office of Education has been really doing an excellent job with that. And I think we're going to be able to satisfy everybody and not have anybody getting less than what somebody at the neighboring school is getting, And so that's one of the main reasons right there.
It's more of a pay scale than it is like resources in the classroom and some of those types of areas?
Yeah, in most cases we all have available resources in the classrooms and things. We go out and go for our textbooks and things of that sort, and the teachers select those, If they can get together and make the proper selections, the students would be able to move, if necessary, from one school to the other and still have the same type of textbooks and curriculum and things of that sort. So there wouldn't be any jumping from one thing and something that they don't know or something of that sort. So that's the type of cooperation we need.
When the overlay with this funding from the state is put on top, even though have been some of these additional bonds and put into play, is that going to allow for the smoothest transition that you could be looking for?
Yeah, I think so, and that I think we're going to get something like $176 per student by the consolidation, and that will help. But in this time, with the way the state is, boy, school districts are having a mighty difficult time of it, and we just have to try and do the best we can with what resources we can get. But the main thing we've got to think about is the kids. They're the ones that need the education, and that's what we have to provide them.
Let's go on to our second area of discussion. Rich, why should parents of children attending Fortuna Elementary Schools be excited about you being on the board?
Well, I'm an advocate of and believe that each and every child should be given an equal opportunity to succeed and be recognized for their individual accomplishments. Parents need to know they're welcome to visit, sit in classes, assist the teachers, be able to communicate with their child's teacher, and are given the assurance that their child is getting the assistance needed to advance through elementary school and exit grammar school prepared for high school.
In saying that parents should have access to be able to see what's going on and to be in the classroom, it almost implies that it's not available now. Is that the case?
Well, not really, but in some cases, some of them are a little bit hesitant to go into a classroom, and it could be that they're afraid of interrupting a teacher or something of that sort. But, you know, we're providing a public education, and the public is the one that's paying the bills. And so, you know, it's their school.
Is there a way to develop that culture where parents, and I would suggest also community members, feel comfortable enough and that it's worth their time to come on the campus during the school day, see what's going on, perhaps have their suggestions paid attention to or at least discussed?
Yeah, I think we hired a new principal at Ambrosini School, and she's doing things like breakfast for the parents or lunches and coffee talks and things of that sort with the parents. And the PTOs are really getting into it now, and they're doing a lot. And so the more welcome we can feel the parents around the school, I think the more they'll appreciate what we have and how good the school is.
In the private or in the public setting, you really aren't able to require parental involvement.
No.
Is that the type of thing that you would like to see as ways to encourage parental involvement?
Well, in many cases nowadays, both parents work, and it's difficult for them to get the time off to come in and spend some time in the classrooms. But I would like to see them maybe encourage the parents to come to, say, school carnivals and things of that sort, and PTO things and stuff, that they could at least meet the teachers and again get a chance to talk to them then, you know. And that's
maybe
nice.
Even parent conferences?
Yeah, parent conferences, yeah. Hey, I know Toddy Thomas did a great job this year. They had the kids put on the parent conferences, and they had to talk to their folks and show them the grades that we were getting, and the teacher was there to kind of support the student and things of that sort. And it really turned out quite well. And the kids had to provide the excuses or do the things and say, yeah, I did great here. You know, that's good.
That's a really neat way to kind of put the kids where the kids belong.
Yeah.
Responsible for what their output was,
yeah,
rather than some of the other. How do you foster innovative thinking like that?
Hey, that's just some fantastic teachers that we have, and they come up with a good idea, and somebody sits there and thinks, hey, that ought to work great, you know, let's do it.
And so as a board member, is that something you'll try to foster? Because I know that there are some boards who, without their authorization, they're not in favor of anything. They want the control.
No, I don't think the board isn't there to control what goes on in the school. That's what we hire a superintendent for. That's what we hire principals for. And when it comes down, if the parents have a problem that they can't solve by talking to the teachers and then a superintendent, then they do have a complaint procedure. They can come to the board, and then we can talk to them about it. But if they call me up as an individual, I'm just a single person, you know, I'm not a board member at that point by myself. The only time I'm a board member is when all five of us are there and we're listening to the people. So,
as you look at the board and the interaction with the community, particularly in light of the fact of the consolidation going on, do you sense that there's more interest in the community with what's going on with the two schools now than what there has been prior to this?
Yeah, I think so. I think the people they're kind of glad to see this and hoping that we're going to be able to save some money in various areas, you know, and possibly one of the great things that we haven't had in the past was Ambrosini was the individual at Ambrosini was the superintendent principal. Now we have a principal, and she's there for the kids and there for the teachers and parents. And these are steps that I think that are going to be good. We're looking at an early kindergarten program. We're kind of hoping maybe we'll get some funding from the state for it, but not holding our breath. But we are planning on conducting that and getting some students enrolled prior to kindergarten and so on.
Let's move into our third area of discussion for this afternoon. You're listening to KINS's Meet the Candidate series. In this segment, we're talking and hearing from Rich Barsani, who's a candidate and incumbent for the Fortuna Elementary School Board. Now it's the Consolidated School Board. Rich, funding, curriculum, staff issues are often all we hear about from school boards. What areas are you interested in for a school board member? Which one interests you the most?
My main interest has been ensuring that our students have the best possible learning environment, one that's nurturing and caring and beneficial to each individual student. The creation of a learning environment cooperative by all with the best interests of children a first and foremost priority. And finally, work towards the development of a school district that's an outstanding model for others to emulate and strive to match.
So as you're saying, the learning environment, is that an external? Is that an internal? Is that a cultural from the staff? How are you going to kind of wrap your fingers around this and say, this is it, this is what we want?
Well, they're doing a lot of that right now. You always have your staff and the administration and the input from the kids around the environment, around the school, the sports, the music programs, the library programs, and things of that sort. I've coached basketball for 50 some odd years in the grammar school level, boys and girls, and the last few years at Toddy Thomas for the 7th and 8th grade boys and girls. But, you know, you try and do things for them and help them along and support them. And you go to a basketball game sometimes and they have one of the students singing the Star Spangled Banner. And what a voice, you know, that's great. And those are the things I think that should be encouraged and provided for the students and give them the opportunity to select. Some of them may not do well in book learning, but, man, they can play the drums or a violin or a trumpet or something like that. And that's what you want to see them do, you know.
So with the extracurricular stuff like you were alluding to, the athletics, some of the academic stuff,
mm-hmm.
With music and in some of those programs, with the tightness of the budget, how do you prioritize which program stays, which one doesn't, if it comes to that point, if there's parental participation, you know, if there are fees that the parents have to step up and pay? How do you put all that together and still have this environment, the learning environment that you want?
Thank you. It's really unfortunate that usually when they make cuts, the first cut that go are the counselors or the music programs or something of that sort. And that shouldn't really, I don't think that should be that way. But cuts have to be made somewhere at some time. And in some cases, the PTOs have been able to come up with enough money to pay, say, a music teacher, and they'll donate that towards the school or work towards that. Or it might be some other grants available. And then another thing is to be able to go out and even if the kids are in the classroom, go out and have artists throughout the community come to the school, do artwork, music programs, put on a play, things of that sort, so they get some of this, you know, regardless of what the situation is financially.
Rich, we've run out of time. Thanks for coming by.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Meet the Candidates with Rich Barsani. Join us for our next Meet the Candidates segment.